Good morning, folks. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Environmental Improvement, Transportation, and Public Outreach Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, August 25th, 2021, and it is 10:45 a.m. First item on the agenda is the determination of a quorum. And so, Mari, if you would please take roll.
Ms. Faustinos?
Present.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Ms. Novosel?
Here.
Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Mr. Yates?
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Excellent. Thank you, Maria. I'll now go over the meeting rules of the day. So if you'd all bear with me, as I read through these, we are doing an entirely virtual meeting, this morning. So to observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov, select August 25th, 2021, governing board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. To participate in the EITPO committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you'll be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter that PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is opened in the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to the microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on the website, please note that this is a listen-in only option. If you wish to address the committee, you will need to log in via the GoToWebinar on the computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial in your unique PIN. To committee members, if you wish to speak, just go ahead and alert me via the chat function if you're online, or speak up if you're calling in. Please set your chat box now to panelists and organizers. That way I get your message, and only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak and not for sidebar conversations. And please remember to mute the mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. And I see everybody's got their cameras turned on. That's excellent. We now have sufficient capacity at TRPA to have the bandwidth for everybody to have their cameras on. So with that, next item is the approval of the agenda. Joanne, Julie, is there any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Mr. Chair.
Excellent. Thank you, Julie. So we'll go ahead and deem the agenda approved. We really just have one item this morning, but it's a very important item. And we do have about an hour to listen to the presentation and then open it up for questions, answers, and comments. And this is agenda item number 2, and it is the Transportation Funding Initiative that we've had some meetings on in the past. And what we're looking for is we'll be getting a briefing from the consultants and then looking for the committee to give some possible direction at the end. We'll get an update on sort of the interviews to date, and even more importantly, possibly, is sort of the schedule for getting the product wrapped up. So with that, I don't know, Julie or Nick, if which one of you are doing the lead on this, but I will pass it over to TRPA staff at this point in time to kick off the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Julie Reagan, the Chief of External Affairs and Deputy Director at TRPA. I really don't have a big intro. I will just turn the slide deck over to our consultants from Regional Government Services. We all know this is of most interest to the board, so I would suggest we just get right to it. So RGS, you may take it away.
Thanks, Julie, and board members. Josh Metz with Regional Government Services. Nice to see everyone again. We did get a chance to meet with all of you during the last few weeks that we have been going through these interviews. And so today we're going to talk about the outcomes of those interviews and surveys and bring back some information that was kind of came up during those questions that came up during those interviews. And then, as Jim mentioned, go into a summary of the process and timeline that we're on to try to meet these critical timelines that we have. So if we might go to the next slide, I would begin with, you know, the interview outcomes, where there are consensus points that everyone seems to agree on. There are also points of divergent views. No surprise there. We did get a fair amount of requests for data, sort of clarifications. And so we'll bring some of that back, as I mentioned. Questions on the implementation of any funding program, and some additional themes that emerged during the conversation. So I think the beginning is really the consensus points. And so the next slide kind of outlines what we have as consensus points, although this one appears to be blank.
It's a build slide. Oh, there you go. It comes up one at a time, Josh.
I was like, we got more consensus points than that. But yes, the first one is, you know, as we discovered, for those of you who were part of the transportation district meeting, when asked around that meeting if folks saw a problem, to raise your hand, pretty much everybody around that meeting raised their hand. So the transportation problem exists and needs a solution now is a fairly strong consensus. Traffic congestion, environmental impacts, public safety. These are the, you know, everyday lived kind of experience things that everyone can agree on. There are also drivers that, you know, the TRPA is, you know, accountable to meet, the Nevada SCRA, which is looking for direction or recommendations rather from TRPA back to the state legislature by the end of this year. There's the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan that you all already approved and adopted. And then the 2021 Vehicle Miles Traveled Standards. All of these are policy actions that are compelling the agency to move forward in this arena. And then also the question of, you know, where do these large impacts come from? And there's a broad consensus that day visitors to the basin have significantly affected the pattern of congestion and all of the other items listed above that are what are needing to be dealt with. So these are the consensus points. And I think it's a great place to begin in approaching how to come, you know, to get to through this kind of complicated policy framework to a funding set of funding mechanisms that will meet your needs. So Bob's going to talk a little bit more now about the some of the data points that we're hoping to clarify here today.
Yeah. So before I bring up the first data request issue that we're responding to, just give you one quick overview point. We did 16 interviews, I think 16 or 17, a sample of board members from both TRPA and TDD, as well as a couple of outside, you know, key stakeholders. So just a little context on where all this information is coming from. So we had a data crust around this question of impact. So here is that, here you can see why there's a consensus around day visitors being a major part of the impact. They make up the largest type of trip coming into or leaving or going around the basin. The data I'm going to present here is actual trip measurement data based on cell phone data as modeled by TRPA's travel demand model. And this represents a sort of average midweek trip or travel behavior in late August, mid-September, outside of any holiday peak. So that's trip type with 44% showing as day. The next segment there you can see is resident day trips. And then worker trips at 14% are the top three. So let's go to the next slide. If we look at where trips are coming from, we had some questions about that as well. Again, this is a summer midweek average. And you can see that, you know, California is about 48%, Nevada is about 52%. You can see the slices there, the pie by type. Spooner Summit seems to have the most amount of traffic going over it, followed by Highway 267 and Highway 89 on the California side. So these are just questions brought up in the interviews. We wanted to bring this back as part of our wrap up to this phase of the project. So if we could move on, we got another slide here. We looked at single day data as well, so that we're not just looking at some sort of averages used by the model, but a single day for July 19th, 2018, you know, came out very similar as well. In this case, California was slightly more than half, Nevada slightly less than half, but very similar amounts by highway, by entry point. So we can move on to the next data request issue that came up, had to do with current annual funding from local sources for transportation. The Placer and City of South Lake Tahoe obviously show the greatest amount here. If you added up the North Shore, it's about 4.7 million annually. South Shore is about 3.4. The South Lake Tahoe amount increased substantially very recently because of a new sales tax that the city adopted for transportation. But on the left, you can see what these major funding sources are. For Placer, it's the TOT, the hotel tax, some general fund, and then smaller contributions from some special districts, including the Business Improvement District recently approved up there. So that's on the last, I think, data request. We have two more data request items here in the next two slides. On polling, we just had questions about the polling that was done as part of the last study. And so we just looked into it. We reviewed Appendix G in the One Tahoe report. Polling was done by the Cromer Group, a very reputable group, it's been used by TRPA for many years, very well-known polling firm that has done a lot of work in Nevada. The polls they did in California, Nevada were pretty standard polls. You know, sample sizes were pretty standard from what I've seen. Margins of error and confidence intervals were also pretty standard. Polls were all of registered voters. So that I just, you know, since it came up in the interviews, just wanted to provide this to the committee. We are going to have all this data is going to be placed on a web page on the TRPA website. And I'll come back to that again in a couple of slides so that everybody can have access to that. But let's move on to the last data question. Had to do with, you know, what's going on in other mountain communities. So if you could click, yeah, just hold it there for a second. So we looked at Aspen, you know, Sedona, the Wasatch Range, Winter Park, Whistler. These are a sample of some of the ones we looked at. I know maybe folks on this call have been to some of those visits in the past. So when you look at their transportation solutions, if we can now go to the right-hand side, the first one. So definitely a focus on visitors and commuters. You know, a lot of emphasis on getting workers to work, particularly in far-flung areas where the cost of housing has forced workers to move out of the key job centers. And I'd say that Roaring Fork Transit Authority in Aspen is a great example of an agency that's got served several counties and has been gradually expanding its routes as the working population has had to move out from Aspen all the way to Glenwood Springs, again, because of housing costs. No free parking. You know, you got to charge for parking to get people out of their cars.
Linking free transit service to park and ride lots is a big solution that seems to come up. Funding, pretty typical sales taxes, property taxes, hotel taxes, service contracts. The Roaring Fork Transit Authority, again, has an interesting situation where they just contract with the counties and the cities they serve and get reimbursed for a part of their transit service costs. They're able to share the funding burden that way. And then the major employers are seen to contribute. You know, typical example would be ski areas funding employee transit passes, you know, pretty common. So that's what we've seen. But, the takeaway for me here is that upper right-hand box, no area has Tahoe's multiple jurisdictions. I mean, yeah, Roaring Fork Transit Authority is, maybe closest, but no one has a bi-state issue going on. No one has so many counties and cities involved. So the funding solutions, they seem to be common across these other mountain resort communities, when you translate those solutions to the Tahoe areas, that I think you all become aware, it gets a lot more complicated. So let's move on. All this data is going to be placed on a web page on the TRPA website. And so folks on the committee and on the board will have easy access to it. So let's go on to the second point of our presentation here on the interview outcomes. And I want to mention again that, the interview outcomes in terms of implementation issues as part of that. Local funding came up, different, as you saw from that prior chart, different local agencies are contributing different amounts. So that's just an issue people flagged and a question when it comes to how we think about implementation and would there be a return to source if there's a regional funding source. On the expenditure plan, a number of folks we interviewed raised the question of identifying specific projects and benefits and articulating the phasing and delivering some projects immediately upon the collection of any revenue source. So getting the expenditure plan maybe somewhat more detailed than what might just be in the RTP right now. And then on governance and administration, a number of our key informants really pushed for increased alignment between the TRPA and TDD. They wanted to see a more common voice there and common messaging coming out of both boards. And then on implementation agency options, the question was, well, what do we do? Because and answers ran the gamut. TRPA should be the recipient of any regional revenue source and administer it. TDD should be the obvious recipient as the lead transportation agency or transit authority. And some even said, well, we just might need to create a new JPA. And each one of those has its pluses and minuses, and the key informants were well aware of those. So there are some big questions there on implementation. Then I'll just move to some additional themes. I think the last part of our presentation of our survey results, multiple definitions of equity. Is equity about residents versus visitors? Is equity about workers, commuters versus others? Is equity about income groups, low income, middle income, upper income? So all those were raised. Next point, no consensus on funding sources. No surprise here. Some, thought that the work done prior by the TTD through One Tahoe was the way to go. Others said, no, we got to really start over and take a look at everything again and come up with a new package. Some mentioned an incremental approach, which means, can we start small with some revenue sources and then move add from there rather than trying to bite off the entire $20 million in per year amount that's sought in one action. And then finally, everybody realized that Tahoe is unique. And as I mentioned earlier in relation to other mountain communities, we really have a special situation up here. We have a special resource, as everybody knows, nationally recognized resource. as well as a very complex jurisdictional overlay that we need to deal with. So maybe that just puts us in our own league, and we need to come up with a regional revenue package that meets our unique needs.
And Bob, if I might just jump in a little bit on this slide, I think these four points really represent sort of the policy arena that is probably, the most complex and really would look to, the leadership, the elected leadership, to make some calls on these topics. They're not going to be simple, clean answers. There's people's preferences, and so I think this slide to me represents, the nugget of the problem and the opportunity, I think, for the board to kind of weigh in with defining what are the components of equity that we want to address and take on, and how could we address this lack of consensus on funding mechanisms. I mean, it's pretty fundamental between different views on taxation and things like that, I think the real hope is in all of this is the recognition that Tahoe is special, and it was the TRPA was created in recognition of that. And so it may really require some legislative thinking at that scale to kind of come up with a workable solution here. But I think it's just this slide's particularly noteworthy. So that's all I wanted to add.
Yeah, maybe I just looking at my notes, I want to add a little more color on this slide as well. In terms of equity, there also was equity about the collar counties versus the rest of the states, that maybe we should look at this at the countywide level versus the rest of the states. So that was an equity point brought up. And on the funding sources, we did get a couple of our key informants mentioning parking, paid parking, that we really need to look hard at paid parking as a serious source of revenue, regional revenue. And others mentioned under the funding heading of voluntary contributions. We should look at some program of voluntary contributions as another source. So that's just some additional color on the themes here listed on this side. So moving on, I want to move to the next major point of our presentation here on the policy priority survey we did. So we surveyed 21, the survey went out to 21 individuals, the entire TRPA and TD board. It was completed by 14. So if we go to the next slide, that survey, if we could click on the first survey question, had to do with we forced folks to pick four policy objectives for a new regional funding source. And then next question, please. We asked
four
folks to pick
policy priorities.
Policy priorities, and then four policy priorities for the governance and administration structure. So the very simple survey, two questions with a list of options to select. If we go to the next slide, we'll see the results. So under the regional funding, the top four were predictable and sustainable, fungible, which means across, if you could hold there for a second, fungible, which means, can be used across all modes, bike, transit, ped, auto, etc. That there's clarity and transparency. We know where the money's coming from, where it's going. And on the equity question, the residents versus visitors rose up into that top four. But as you can see, access and maybe similar tied with that, equity among income groups came in as a close fifth ranking. So may want to keep our eye on that one moving forward. And then you can see the other ones. If you click through the next couple of points there, one more, please. You can see the other rankings there that we're not given as high a priority. And then we did allow a text response for anything other that was on folks' mind. So I'll I'll just give folks a moment to absorb this slide, and then we'll move on to the next. Let's go to governance administration. So the top four there, just click once, please. Keep it simple. Keep it transparent. Make sure it's feasible to implement. And this project coordination is about make sure there's a clear coordination among the multiple implementing agencies. You could hold there, please. Among the multiple implementing agencies on projects. So let's have a clear coordination role across, you know, say the counties and the cities to make sure project can be delivered effectively. You can see the other results there, and you can click through, I think, twice more to show the other rankings the other options folks had and how they ranked. All right, I think that's it for the survey. We're going to wrap up here with one more slide on the process and timeline. Now, I'd like to remind the committee, you know, Josh and I and our team, we're here to help the two boards make some decisions around funding, to respond to these drivers, SCR 8 and the RTP funding needs. We have no particular package or plan or outcome that we have in mind here. We are here solely in a support role to help you folks make some decisions and possibly some very difficult decisions. So we want to do whatever we can to help you in that regard. So this is really we've completed the first step of our project here. We did our survey, did a whole bunch of key interviews to get us grounded in your issues and your questions and where you're headed. So that's what we're providing now. Now, going forward, we're thinking next month, if you could click to September, we would come back with a comprehensive list of all possible revenue sources. If you could click once, I think the September bullets will come up on the slide, or not. but in September, we can get the text up there, we'll be presenting all funding options. And also, we had some comments from your chair when we did a quick briefing yesterday to link them to project priorities. So it's putting up all the funding options. There we go. Thank you. All the funding options. What kind of what range of revenues would each provide? Probably putting them through a bit of the filter of those top four or five. Regional funding policy priorities that we showed, and then also coming back with some project priorities. You know, what might we do with the money? And the reason we have to align these two is, well, how much you raise is going to have a direct impact on what you can do, and the kind of money you raise is going to have a direct impact on what you can do. So we want to have the revenue package discussion and the project priorities discussion concurrent. So that'll be September's work, obviously a big, big chunk of work there. In October, then we would come back based on the September input with a final package or maybe some options on packages for funding and projects. And we would start the discussion on governance and administration. And in ideally in October, we would be able to make a final decision on funding options and project priorities. Then in November, we can move and really dig more deeply into the governance and administration options and what solutions might be preferred there, with the goal of presenting you a draft report to both boards by December. So this process is really designed to go through the EITPO committee, this committee, and the TTD board, with check-ins periodically with a full TRPA board, but the key decision-making process is going to be this committee and the TTD board. That concludes our presentation. So we were opening up to questions and comments at this point, and at some point, I assume the chair needs to take public input. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Josh. Appreciate the update on where we are at this point in time. I do have a, before I open it up to other committee members, I do have a couple of questions. One sort of a, just make sure we're all grounded and clarifying questions. The survey results talked about the importance of funding being fungible, you know, to allow greater flexibility. I'm curious as to when you did the local funding sources, are those fungible funding sources or are those pretty much siloed? And I'm curious because I don't, because that may or may not inform kind of what we do for a regional strategy.
You know, I might defer to Cindy on the TOT. My guess is that that's fairly fungible across transportation modes. On the South Lake Tahoe side, the transportation sales tax was approved for specific purposes related to transportation. I'd have to get into the details there again to give you a specific answer. So sorry, Jim, I don't have a clear answer for you on that question. It's a good question.
Yeah, no, that's fine, Bob. I mean, maybe down the road. And I was really mostly curious with South Lake, but I am curious about North Lake as well. But, you know, we've had struggles getting transit in particular. It seems like there's, you know, funds for kind of capital improvements in the transportation world, but funding transit and operations is really a struggle. Is what I've learned. And so I'm just curious on these local funding sources if they can go to transit and operations.
Hey, Jim, I could weigh in on the transient occupancy tax funds. Placer, the transient occupancy funds that Placer uses are fungible. They are county general funds and can be used in a wide variety of transportation or other purposes.
And Jim and I will jump on that also for El Dorado County. Yes, same thing, very fungible, but we do have specific niches that's about 20% of it goes to. And that being said, we have very limited TOT because we just are a pass-through county. All 90% of the TOT on South Shore goes to the city of South Lake Tahoe because we don't have hotels. And so we're very limited on our TOT funding. We probably about maybe up to 10%, 20% of the total tax goes to the county.
Thanks, Sue. That's helpful. Another question I had for you, Bob or Josh, is I was curious when you looked into the, what are other somewhat similar communities doing? One of your findings was the focus on the visitor and the worker, which makes sense to me, particularly with the challenges at Tahoe. I'm curious if these other communities, did they set up like one transit system that serves both the visitors and the commuters or workers all at the same time? Or did they need to set up sort of separate transit operations, one kind of focused on where the visitor wants to go as opposed to where the worker needs to go?
Well, it's one transit operator typically. Of course, the specific routes are going to be designed around those different sources of demand, but it's typically one operator. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Those are a couple questions I had immediately, but at this point, I'll open it up to other committee members. I don't see, let's see here. Let me bring my chat up.
We're all waiting. We're just waiting.
I know. I'll start with Sue and then I'll go to Bill.
Sorry,
so, go ahead, Sue.
Thank you. Well, I'm a personal fan of the Roaring Fork fleet in Colorado. I use it. I just used it last week coming home to get to the airport. It's a great system, and it just shows me that we can do this. It is a regional system, and I think, you know, as your question, somebody's question on, you know, how do you make that happen? Whether that be a separate JPA or however we make it work, I think you do need one agency, or at least, you know, being North Shore, South Shore, maybe two agencies. But I think it begs the question on where Tahoe Transportation District fits into all this. Something to work out and just something to think about. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Bill.
Thanks, Jim. I just want to follow up on what you asked about transit and what the comparison might be in other areas. And I'm just curious, because I know North Shore right now is experimenting with micro transit to a certain extent. And what other jurisdictions have used as far as different types of transit. And maybe we are unique because we have obviously a circular pattern around the lake. And then we have areas like the city and places in between where you could maybe let micro transit work. And we've attached to micro transit to conditions of approval for the South Shore Event Center, for example. So I'm just curious as to what you've discovered just comparing other jurisdictions.
Well, I didn't come across a lot of reference to microtransit in terms of, say on-call shuttle type services, Uber, Lyft type services, subsidized obviously in public. I'm not saying they don't exist, but we can look into that to see what communities are using. I think, again, it's whatever works best in Tahoe. Every community is a little different, and so it's just gonna be driven by the geography of Tahoe and the transit demand, by location, what's gonna work best. But I'm sorry, I can't give you a precise answer on to what do we say microtransit is used elsewhere, but we can look into that if you'd like.
I might be able to add just a little bit more on that too, Bill. I mean, micro transit in the form of Uber Lyft type, what's happening in North Shore is one version. Then, what's happening in South Lake Tahoe City, there's the micro transit. There's the little scooters and things that people are using around. I think those are the modes and the technologies of transportation are continually evolving, and I think Bob hit it right in terms of, whatever is going to work best to move the people that need and that are interested in using that and need to use that. I wanted to also mention that, in our conversations with some of the business community, in particular the folks in the South Lake Tahoe kind of hospitality sector, this sense of urgency around worker transportation came up right away, and that, solving that problem for the hospitality industry is kind of, high alert, I think probably just down from avoiding, a catastrophic wildfire is finding enough, staff people to open restaurants and keep things going. So I think that just gets to, the point earlier about, the focus on the visitor and the worker, a solution that would link say the Carson Valley or, the Myers area, maybe where there's opportunities for workforce housing projects, even that some of these hotels, might be motivated to invest in because they're having so many challenges. But using that driver to kind of establish service, could also then begin to immediately meet your visitor needs as well. So I just thought it was noteworthy and worth mentioning again here.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. The reason it was one of the slides that you showed where there was an employer contribution from within the group, what other communities have dealt with. And so to a certain extent, North Star and Squaw use Uber, Lyft, Downtowner, you know, that, and they found that to be successful. I know the League to Save Lake Tahoe tried something in South Lake Tahoe, and our problem was our bandwidth and the app problems. Cindy and the North Shore are doing a trial thing, but that could be an area where you could find, because of the problems with workforce, business wanting to help make that happen and then do it in a more targeted way to address where the workers are coming from. Probably at a lesser scale, but certainly to the extent that that's really what Google has done in San Francisco, mm-hmm. is they provide buses for their staff. So I don't know. It just seems like maybe that's something that we should consider as kind of a startup anyway, to immediately address a particular problem. My thought.
Yeah, well, I know those. Yeah, I think it's worth noting. I think the committee ought to know that from our interviews, we learned that you could almost add regional routes for worker commutes as a fourth key benefit to the environmental benefits, the congestion issues, and the public safety issues. And that if we can show that kind of benefit or include projects that provide that linkage, it could go a long way towards bringing the South Shore, the major South Shore businesses on board, because that is such a pain point for them right now. It was not a pain point even 12, 18 months ago. But it would really capture their attention if this plan was oriented towards solving, providing that worker access to lower cost housing areas, same way Roaring Fork does that down the valley there from Aspen. It could be a key way to get a great way to get a key stakeholder on board.
Yeah, Bob, I agree. And Bill, thanks for asking the question. That was kind of where I was thinking and heading when I was asking the question earlier about, you know, whether they were separate transit systems or not for the workers and the visitor. I agree with you, Bob, at least from a Nevada perspective, particularly down at the southern portion of the lake, the challenge of addressing workforce, basically, to get the workers up there, I think is huge. I know it didn't make the top four in that first survey question, but this does kind of, you know, getting workers to where they need to go to work, it does tie into the access and the equity issue with income groups. And while it didn't make the top four, I do know that, you know, my conversations with certain state legislators or decision makers, that the access and the equity among income groups is very much forefront on their mind. And so even though it's not in the top four, I do think it kind of goes hand in hand with the discussion, and we should be very mindful of it as we think about solutions. Anecdotally, with the North Shore microtransit between Washoe and Placer, I don't get up to Tahoe that much these days, but the two times I've gone up there over the last month, I have seen that micro shuttle in Incline Village being used. And so they're, you know, to your point, Bill, it does seem like that is part of the solution. At least people are seem to be using the system. I don't know the numbers, but anecdotally from what I've observed, it seems to be pretty well used. Any other questions from board members?
Mr. Chairman?
Alexis. Yes.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the data you gave showing that there's just real equal use of visitors as well as folks who live up at the lake coming in and creating the vehicle miles traveled at the lake. So thank you so much for that. And I think when I speak to constituents, you know, one of the things that is a big selling point to them of, you know, any tax, whatever it looks like, however we come up with that, is how do we reduce vehicles coming up. And so I think, keeping that in mind when we're looking at these things moving forward. And I really appreciate how you outlined your role, that, it really is up to us to make these decisions. And so I'm really looking forward to having those conversations once you outline those next steps and the different models we can use and what the funding could look like with those models. So thank you very much for your work on this.
Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Alexis. Appreciate that. Cindy, yes.
I wanted to echo what Alexis said, but also talk a little bit about transportation solutions in general, because for my, 30-some years of dreaming and hoping we could find some solutions in transportation and building those incrementally in bike trails and pedestrian walkways and transit services, I think what we're seeing is such an evolution with technology into this micro mass transit arena, and our numbers are phenomenal. I think I shared with the TTD board that the survey on our micro mass transit shows that 40% of those using the micro mass transit haven't used our regular TART system previously. And there's a really good distribution. We've got all the numbers. Sorry, I don't have them at my fingertips this morning on workers, but also visitors to the area. And so it's pretty phenomenal. But I think, again, as we look at transportation solutions, flexibility is going to be critical, because what people are willing to do and how they're willing to use transportation is changing pretty rapidly. I think that idea of it being fungible, of us being flexible and looking at what's working today and being ready to jump on new technologies and new systems that might be appropriate in the future. So I'm really excited to have this move forward. I know we can make a difference. We already are, but we can make much more of an impact on this by coming up with a common direction and a unifying voice as to how to approach this. So I'm really encouraged, and I really want to thank Bob and Josh and your team for all the research and effort you've put into this.
Mr. Chair, this is Belinda. I'm off camera, but just wanted to provide a comment here to echo, I think, what some of you mentioned earlier, which is that equity and access, I think, really do go a long way towards, addressing our transit issues. And as we look at providing access for workers, that's going to be a critical way that we can address all of these issues. And I think that having that targeted analysis of, where our populations are going, and they may be going further out than where they're at right now. And we have to anticipate those changes that Cindy pointed out that are happening. So just want to reemphasize that and thank the consultants for their work.
Thank you, Belinda. Bob or Josh, one of your findings from the survey results is regarding, the question that's come up, if there is a new revenue source, how is it going to be administered? And that's going to be a question that needs to be answered. I guess I'm concerned but not surprised that there wasn't consensus on how something was going to be administered. It seems like there was, sort of different viewpoints. At the end of the day, we're going to have to answer that question. And so do you see next steps when you are identifying potential funding sources? Is that a point where you kind of recommend an administrative structure to align with the funding source? Or is that a separate exercise? Just curious on your thoughts on your work moving forward and tackling this administrative piece.
Well, if you want to go back to the process slide, we're thinking we're going to separate out governance and administration as a separate discussion topic and have that follow on. So that would start in October. That would follow on the revenue and project ranking discussion in September. I'm not sure that, obviously I could think of examples of where the two might, you know, might have to be linked. But I think in general, we can have those as separate discussions. You could have regional sources. You could have different sources coming into a single entity, you know, from the local jurisdictions around the lake, you know, maybe whatever, a new tax or something like that, or new user fee. And it could all be centralized into a single entity, you know, or you could not do that and somehow have, you know, contributions to a regional, single regional pot in some way done by local agencies. But in my experience, what you typically have is a single agency, and it either is a I'm thinking of the Bay Area. It's either a regional MPO, you know, like TRPA in the Bay Area, it's MTC, or it's a sub board of that. So if there like our toll authority in the Bay Area is a board appointed by the MPO. So there's oversight there, but allows you to construct a board with different people on it than maybe the MPO is constructed. So, you know, there's a number of different ways we could do it there. You know, just to highlight, you know, and maybe an elephant in the room, you know, there were concerns about TDD's capacity. Now, other folks said, well, that's a chicken and egg. You give TDD the funding and they'll have the capacity. So that's a tough one, because the TDD may be on paper seem like a logical recipient of a new revenue source, be able to coordinate the delivery of projects basin wide. But there are, you know, there's questions that people have about that agency's abilities. And I don't know how you address that, unless again we find an incremental approach that allows us to, you know, allows us to maybe build that over time and gain that faith and trust in the agency over time. But the, you know, so that was the TDE discussion. The TRPA discussion was, well, yeah, that's a regional entity, but the TRPA, there's a state local issue here. You know, this revenue is going to be generated locally. And there were some folks that thought that they weren't sure that the state was an appropriate representative on a board who had authority over a regional funding source and delivery of projects. So there were plus and minuses on the TRPA question. On a separate JPA, of course, the clear downside there is, well, gosh, do we need yet another agency? But the plus side was, you know, that, hey, it gives us the ability to construct a new kind of board with the right kind of representation and maybe start anew. But again, maybe there's combinations of that. You know, a new entity could be a sub-authority of an existing agency. So maybe it's not, you know, some new layer of bureaucracy. It's just a little tweak in the governance structure. There's a very rich discussion there, Jim, as I know you all are well aware. And this is particularly where I, you know, we're going to need guidance from the governing board on what seems to work, because we can make anything work technically. It's what you guys need from a, you know, from a governance standpoint that's going to work for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. I think it is going to be a challenge, and, you know, And you mentioned it, and that's my guess, is that you know, some of the comments regarding an incremental approach, you know, had to do with capacity issues. I mean, it's a very ambitious RTP. You know, maybe there's questions on, you know, whether it's TTD or TRPA or somebody else, you know, whether everything could be done at once or whether it's something that you build success upon success. It's hard. It is kind of like a chicken and egg thing, just like you said. It's hard to get stuff done if you don't have the crew to do it and the capacity, but you don't build the capacity if you don't have the money. So it's a tough one. I see Josh and Alexis. I did have something from Haley as well. So Haley, you sent me a message. So why don't you go ahead and ask your question?
Thanks so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for the information. This might be getting us a little far afield, but so apologies for that. I'm just wondering if we've looked into the infrastructure bill and whether there are pilot programs we can tap into with the new federal funding, if there's any information there. And again, no worries if not. I know we're just sort of, we have a lot to discuss here on funding.
We don't have any up-to-date information there. We're generally tracking the infrastructure bill. I know that there have been some summaries put out about, you know, projects allocated to the Tahoe area. Maybe Julie, it looks like Julie's got something more to say on that too. So pass that to you, Julie.
Oh, well, thank you, Josh. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Haley for the question. Again, Julie Reagan at TRPA. Very timely question. And I think our initial discussions around that is that there will be opportunities, you know, for the Tahoe Basin, assuming that the bill gets passed later in the fall. And what we'd like to do is look at those opportunities really as a bridge, because we will have new federal investment. I mean, there will be money to come to Tahoe. And we are sorting out where we can best compete for those dollars. And that's something that we were talking about in the various meetings leading up to and following the Tahoe Summit, for example. Our congressional delegation is very keen on making sure Tahoe competes and is part of the solution around infrastructure for the benefit of the lake and the community. So we see that as new money, but often that's one-shot money. So perhaps that's a way for us to get some money in the pipeline to continue to give us time to develop this new regional sustainable source that we're all talking about. So it's a really good opportunity for us right now that we didn't have before. And of course, like I think Member Gustafson has said many times, you know, we often get these pilot programs going and then we don't have that consistent, sustainable revenue. So we want to keep that in mind, but go very big and very bullish on channeling new state or federal money that might flow through the states to help us kind of get the ball rolling so that we can then lay the groundwork for some future sustainable funding that will fill in behind some of these new programs. But yes, good you flagged it, and we'll definitely bring you more briefings in future meetings.
Thanks, Julie. That's so helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I might just add one piece to that, just in terms of, you know, this idea that came up during the interviews about wanting to have sort of a quick delivery of projects, immediate delivery. Say there is some funding mechanism. Once there is a funding mechanism that is settled upon or a set of funding mechanisms, this infrastructure money that Julie's talking about there, that could be well timed to kind of prime the pump for immediate delivery of projects, you know, and help do that catalyst role. I think thinking about it in that sense helps address one of these key points that came up during our interviews.
I agree with that 100%, Josh, and thanks for the question, Haley. Whatever funding source comes up, there's going to be, you know, a need to show progress and get something done on the ground. And, you know, we've heard through conversations, or I've heard over conversation over the last couple of years, that, you know, we have challenges like with broadband, for instance. And so if we have broadband challenges, then some of the technological solutions aren't going to work as well. And so, we talk a lot about park and rides. Well, you still have to find the land and you still have to negotiate for the land and you have to develop it. And sometimes you can get congressional acts, et cetera. That all takes time. And so it would be really nice to use some of these infrastructure dollars to really set a good foundation for success so that when a funding source does come on board and we can start rolling out maybe more microtransit or whatever, we're set up a little bit more foundationally in the basin for these things to really work as robustly as we want them to. Alexis, I know you raised your hand earlier, so don't know if you still have a question or comment, but go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate Josh pointing out how important it is to get those projects on the ground, which was also shown in the surveys when talking to board members, but I think my concern with incrementalism, I just feel like I need to say this, is that, you know, we have one shot, in my opinion, to do this. And so I don't want to be continuing going back to the community when we have an opportunity that, yes, we may increase the fee however we do it, but I want to make sure that we really look at this as a one, you know, large project that we could really get off the ground and you know, make some huge differences that people can see very quickly. So that's, to me, I worry about that incrementalism, you know, depending on how it's implemented. So it'll be a fun job for Bob and Josh to look at that when you're showing us some options moving forward. But that's my thought on that.
Thank you, Alexis. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, yeah, I mean, we need to make progress. We need to make quicker progress and do larger projects for sure. Also need to balance that without, make sure that we're not collecting revenue and then not getting stuff done on the ground, because that would be very challenging with the public. So yeah, finding that sweet spot, Alexis, I think it's going to be pretty challenging. Josh.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, just in response to that, and, you know, coming from this conversation, you know, with the, particularly with the business community, who tends to be very influential in politics, and you know, hearing their pain point on this labor access issue, and you know, potentially using that as one of the major catalyst kind of focus points for getting, you know, improving transit in a substantial way, at least help get the workers in and out better, and increase the access to the workforce, you know, that has so many implications for, you know, economic vitality, both in the basin and in your collar communities, which, you know, in my experience, those are things that can, you know, help directly improve people's quality of life. And so that could represent, one of the, you know, early focus point kind of arenas where then you could build from that kind of progress and go towards, you know, the next phase of regional transit rollout program.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Bob.
Yeah, thanks. I don't want the committee to think that this is going to get any easier as we start our work next month, you know, as we start our work and come back to you next month with these options. We are going to face the exact same divisions you faced at the end of the last study, right? So nothing has really changed in that regard. So I think we all need to realize the challenges in front of us, that you know, something like a transportation user fee, if it's looked at like as a basin entry fee, that has a clear state local split, you know, with different sides. If you talk about local taxes, well, that requires, you know, you start getting into approval requirements by voters, and can we do that for the basin only, or do we end up having to go, you know, countywide? And if we do, then what does that say about the day folks, you know, contributing when they're such a big part of the problem? So I'm just touching on a couple of the elephants in the room here that have not gone away and that we're not going to get rid of them in the coming months either. And we're going to be bringing them back to you fair and square next month. And we're going to have to try and, tackle these elephants and herd them in a direction that gets us to a consensus approach. So I'm optimistic it's there, but I'm also realistic that we've got some big challenges in front of us.
Thank you, Bob, and I agree. This will probably be the easiest meeting we'll have for a while. quite honestly, This has been great, and it's been really helpful, and I think the conversation is very helpful, and I appreciate the work you guys have done to date. But yeah, the real challenging meetings are going to be coming up, particularly probably just starting next September, where we start looking at different options and trying to line them up with priorities and matching that up with politics and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I appreciate the fair warning to the board members.
Block
off September, and we'll get busy. And then I think, Sue, I know you, I'll go to you for a comment, and then I do want to open it up for public comment at some point. So after Sue, I'll open up to public comment.
Thank you, Chair. Just quickly, I think it's important that we engage the other agency in this, the Transportation District. Can we get a presentation similar to this to the TDD? I think that part of the issue we had with our One Tahoe was that we weren't working together. And so I think it's critical that we get this presentation and that we stay on the same page with the TDD so that that board can understand what's going on too.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That's important. That's critical. My understanding, talking with Julie and Bob and Josh yesterday, is that this is really going to be a parallel path with the TTD board. And so the same presentation or similar presentation will be going to TTD because your point's well taken. It really needs to be, you know, on parallel tracks. We can't always get everybody in the room at the same time. But the thought is that for TRPA, we'll be doing this work through the EIP committee here. And then I think it's going to be the full board at TTD with RGS coming back for presentations. Points well taken, Sue. Absolutely critical.
Before it gets too far in the process, that.
Yep. Yeah, Bob or Josh, you know when you're scheduled for the TTD board?
Yeah, September 1st. We'll be there. Yep. And with this same presentation, we'll want to have more conversation. One of the things that I have found. The more we've gotten into this, the more conversation interactions that we can have in these meetings, the better. And so I appreciate the one that's unfolded here today, with everybody participating. Really, we are servants to the board and working for you all. You all have the hard task of arriving to some complex decisions. And if we can be a catalyst for conversation and those engagements so that you better understand, each other's perspectives, priorities, and hopefully then can navigate towards a majority view that brings everybody along. I think, we would be doing our job. So hopefully that will continue.
Thank you, Josh. I think I'm looking, I'll be mindful of time. I don't see any more committee questions. Let's go to public comment at this point in time. Mari, I think you're handling public comment this afternoon. Is there anybody in the queue?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If any member of the public would like to make a comment, please click your raise your hand button on the left-hand side of your control panel. We'll give it just a minute here to see if anyone raises their hand. And Mr. Chair, looks like we do not have any hands raised for this item.
Well, thank you, Maria. So with that, I'll close public comment. This is an informational item only, so there's no action needed, but kind of open it back up to the committee for one last chance if you have any comments or questions for Bob and Josh before we turn them loose. I don't see any, so that will take us to agenda item number 3. Thank you, Bob and Josh. Really appreciate the presentation.
Thanks very much.
Looking forward to working with you next month and in the spaces in between.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Great. Thank you. So agenda, let's agenda item number three is really committee member comments. So I'll just open it up to committee members if you have any comments that you want to bring forward at this point in time. Seeing none, that takes us to agenda item number four, which is for general public interest comments. So I'll open it up again for general public interest comments. Maria, is there anybody in the queue?
Mr. Chair, I do not see any further public comments.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. So we'll close public comment. That takes us to agenda item number five, which is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you all. Gives us a little bit of time. I